Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes, the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They long for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good, and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. in true contrition we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when...
Amen. Sisters and brothers, we're going to stop it there. And I will begin with a word of prayer. And I just want to thank God for this prayer line and my brothers and sisters that are coming on to join us. So let us say a word of prayer and thank God for what he has done. Father, we come before you once again, Father, thanking you for this prayer line and what you have done day in and day out. You are blessing us, Lord. You kept us while we slept and even given us another day that we can see now. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your blessings. We thank you for our sisters and brothers that we have passed through the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was truly a blessing that we all just searched the scripture, listened to the word of God, or whatever brothers and sisters did. I know they praise you. I know they thank you. So thank you so much, Father, for getting us through another Sabbath. And now, Father, as we come to join this prayer line tonight, we pray for your blessing to be up on this prayer line and with each and every soul that join us from all the different countries and places in the United States, Lord. We asking for your Holy Spirit to pour out on this prayer line tonight, Lord, that we may learn something, Lord, because we see the time is nearing to the end. So forgive us of our sins, and we ask it, Lord, for your blessing on this prayer line as we read the scriptures and share testimonies and saying whatever, Lord, Father. I'm asking you to bless each and every one. Lord, we also pray for those that have not been on this prayer line so many years, and they left, Lord. Lord, you know their heart. And if it's your will that they be back here, Lord, that we can be family, that we can share, Lord, I'm asking for you to bless them and help them to turn and be able to accept and forgive, Lord, however, whatever made them get off, Lord, let them come. And, Lord, and forgive us of our sins, because if we have done something, said something to offend them, Father, forgive us. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I have a few scriptures, but we have brothers and sisters that have joined us already, putting up with one scripture as we have prayed and thank God for his goodness. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, if you have time, I wouldn't mind you reading a scripture. I had two scriptures I was reading, but I'm going to read from Great Controversy. I want to read this. And it's just a short, it's a paragraph. It says, the proclamation of Christ's coming should now be as when made by the angels to the shepherds of Bethlehem. Good tidings of great joy. Those who really love the Savior cannot but hail with gladness the announcement founded upon the Word of God that he in whom their hope of eternal life are coming again, not to be insulted, despised, or rejected as at his first advent, but in power and glory to redeem his people. It is those who do not love the Savior that desire him to remain away. And there can be no more conclusive evidence that the church have departed from God than the irritation and the anonymous excitement by this heaven-sent message. And I got that from Great Controversy, page 339.3. And brothers and sisters, you know, those that always say Christ is not coming for thousands of years or whatever they think, the Bible tells us we don't know the hour or the time, but the Bible also told us to be food inspectors, to be, you know, that he gave us signs and the signs of Noah, and the signs of all these things, so the weather, he given us signs. So we see so many signs has been fulfilled. So now, as we read this Great Controversy, we see all the things that Christ says that this time is near. So I just want to thank God for my brothers and sisters. I want to give God thanks for your blessing to be here. And I also want to ask him to help each and every one of us to share tonight and show the love that God gives to you and you showing the love to the brothers and sisters by sharing. And they want to hear your voice, not Sister Leola, because Sister Leola is the host, but they have people on. They want to hear different voices. So I see a hand up. So let us open that line. Amen. 423-635. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I'm giving all honor and praise and glory to the Lord. I'm driving. I'm pulling over, but I thank the Lord for this weekend, for his Sabbath past. I fellowship with some brethren in Georgia, and I've been helping a friend that had to go out of town, and God has been supplying all my needs and allowing me to help others during this time. So it's just a blessing to be a hand and a foot and a mouth to God, to encourage, to help, to bless others, and to show the love of Christ wherever you go. And I just like to share this reading from a devotion. It said, this is why the Lord cannot impart to his church the fullness of his blessing, to honor them in a distinguished manner before the world, would be to put his seal upon their works, confirming their false representation of his character. When the church shall come out from the world and be separate from its maxim, habit, and practice, the Lord Jesus will work with his people. He will pour a large measure of his Spirit upon them, and the world will know that the Father loved them. Will the people of God continue to be stupefied with selfishness? His blessing hang over them, but it cannot be bestowed in its fullness because they are so corrupt with the spirit and practice of the world. There is spiritual pride amongst them. And should the Lord work as his heart long to do, it would be confirmed them in their self-esteem and self-exaltation. And I know this to be true. Just the church I went to visit in Georgia, I was like, Lord, have mercy upon your church, because everything goes. The dress style was, you know, I was thinking, well, I was in a Sunday church, and for potluck, one side, I'm not sure if that's what they serve every Sabbath, they had like, you know, a takeout with, you know, noodles or whatever. Then they had like someone just got baptized, and they had a little thing for her in another part of the building, well, actually the gym area, and they had two types of chicken, and they had fish, and I was like, Lord, have mercy. I took picture and I videotaped it, and these people, they love their meat, and I said, wow. So we know the Lord is soon to come, and his people are still feeding on flesh pot, and, you know, that's why we have a lot of the disease and a lot of infirmity and whatever it is, because the people are still wanting to eat like they used to, not knowing that the diet needs to be changed, because we are in the last word, and God is soon, Jesus is soon to come. So let us be ready, brothers and sisters. Let us be encouraged. And if, you know, we ourselves are doing this and not heeding the law, we have to repent and ask the Lord to take away those things that are not good for our body, even the sweets, you know. So may the Lord truly bless us. Thank you, Sister Leola. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. And true it is. You just got to continue to pray for all those that have that craving, especially sweet. I tell you, I just want to thank God for the continual conviction of my brothers and sisters, reminding and always letting people know the things that we need to get rid of. So thank you, Sister Carla, for blessing us with that information. And I did see, I was at church one day, and I did see they had that chicken on the plate. I said, uh-uh. But praise God, that we know that's not supposed to be in the church. So we thank you so much, Sister Carla, for bringing that to us. So I'm going to go to the next caller, sisters and brothers. And that is, hold on just a second, that's 843. We open in your line. Thank you, sisters and brothers, also for coming on and sharing with us on Advent Life Ministry. So 843, your line is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Tamiko from Florida, and I'm just giving the Lord praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. I thank him for everything he's done for us and for bringing us through another week. I thank him for the Sabbath. I thank him for my new home. I thank him for everything, because without him, we would have absolutely nothing. As he is the vine and we are the branches, Sister Leola. So I do have a scripture verse to read in Psalms 121. Amen. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper at thy, sorry, the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome and mighty God, and I just give him praise and honor and glory because he takes good care of each and every one of us. So I thank you so much, my beloved, and I do have prayer requests. I want to lift up everyone on the Event Life prayer line, and I'm asking for prayer for my mom, Dorothy, and prayers for my children and grandchildren, and for Sister Powell, for you, Sister Leola, and your husband, Brother Ray, and for Sister Stephanie, AJ and Kaj, and for Sister Carla, and her children as well, and Brother Eli. So God bless you all. I love you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko. We are so grateful to be here on this prayer line. And when we come on this prayer line to share the word or to listen to the word, we have brothers and sisters that come to share because they know that our Father and the word of God is precious to each one. I wanted to read a scripture, but I'm not there yet. And I'm going to ask Brother Rick, I don't know if he's in position, but anyway, I will read it, and if he could, I will ask him. But we're going to open the line for Sister Brenda. She's next. We're going to open the line for 232. Yes, she pressed next. Yes, 232, two, your line is open. And we are so grateful to have our brothers and sisters on this prayer line. Everyone has pressed one. God is so good, brothers and sisters. We thank you so much for supporting, okay? So we're going to open this line right now for 985. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
Yes, we can hear you. Amen. Go ahead, please, Brenda.
Oh, okay. I thought I was muted. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. And I just want to thank God for blessing us to see another Saturday and blessing us coming on this line again. We thank God because he's an awesome God. We thank him for all he has done for us and all he's going to do for us. So I just want to give God the glory for everything he has done. Okay, I want to read a scripture coming from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just want to thank God for this. He wants us to hear and want us to live by. That way we have something we can go by so we can practice and we can get closer to God and walk with God, and we become more and more like him and walking with you. That way we won't have nothing to say where we didn't know that we won't have nothing to say about we couldn't do this and couldn't do that, and we can't even read it because it has it on here, even audio. So that's what I have to put on now. And I'm so thankful for the audio because I'm not a reader. So I put the audio on, and I thank God for me getting a lot of reading out now. So I just asked for prayer for my sister Mary wanted me to put in a prayer, Mary Wood, but she's reconstructing a building she bought and to a house, and she's having difficulty with the part of construction, and she just needs prayers for the that they can give her a certificate. So she asked me to pray for her, and that's what they're working on now. She couldn't come on. So I actually lift Sister Mary up and her family because she had to send two of her daughters to the mental home. So she just needs prayer because she's always having problems with them. They're grown, but they stay with her, and she had to send two to the mental home. So just keep lifting her up because she's had a problem with a lot of them. She has children that they have mental defects, and she has to be sharing them in and out. So just keep her in prayer. And I just ask for prayer for our Edwin Light family and all those sick under the bridge and everywhere in my family. If she plus Sister Power and her nation and everybody else and all our been like prayer. Amen. Brother John.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, like tell us everyone, a prayer line family. This is Brother John from Louisiana. Yeah, I just was thinking to myself just now how much in the past I was walking, like just going through life and thought I had a GPS, but I really was lost. And I just think back then when I was lost, and I think now that I have received God more and more into my heart, you know, Jesus. And it's like he's been, you know, take care of me. I realize that we don't just like want God in our life. I realize that we need all of us. Everybody need God in their life. Like I say, it's not just like you're lost walking around or you're doing things, you know. Like I say, but he gives us a vision, you know, inner sight to our life and shows us the way, you know, the way that to go and the type of person to be and make our life more positive and enriched and just awesome, I guess, wonderful, you know, not guess, but I know makes our life wonderful. We read the scriptures and we learn from them and we share them. And like I say, we get on this prayer line and be taught, you know, with an open mind to be taught. And like I say, you know, this makes life so much better. Just sticking with the word of God and letting him guide us. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for sharing the encouragement, and also want to share Sister Mary's prayer. And we will be lifting up those prayers to the Lord, because truly God knows the need and he understands every heart. So we will certainly lift that up in prayer. Amen. And we thank y'all so much for and what a blessing. And that's when Sister Brenda said, we will have no excuse for God's word when he comes, when we go before the judgment seat, because he will know our heart. He knows us, sisters and brothers. He's not like Sister Leola. I'm judging or I'm assuming what somebody think or what somebody said. No. But Christ, he knows that heart in and out. So I want to thank you, Sister Brenda, for bringing it out. And thank you also, Brother John, for always giving encouragement, lifting up brothers, because you see what Brother John went through. Sisters and brothers, he just testified of how good he is, and he brought him through all of his trials and his tribulation while he was lying there on that bed. He said, I wasn't going to just give up like that. Brother John said, I'm going to get up because I know his Savior has risen. And he got up out of that bed, was laying there for about a month or two. I'm not sure, but I forgot the time. But God is so good to hear him on his prayer line today. So I'm going to go to the next caller. So thank you once again, Sister Brenda, and brothers and sisters. And I want to welcome you all once again on this prayer line. We are grateful to our brothers and sisters. We are grateful to our Lord and Savior because he has kept this line as we can come together and study. If nobody get anything off this prayer line, God has brought Brother John and Sister Brenda. They have gotten a lot. And they were baptized from Advent Light Ministry. So they got baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we thank God for that one baptism, because what Christ said, he said, if it ain't but one, he'll leave 99. But if it's just one, he's going to get that one. And because he said he is here for the lost, not for the ones that's already saved. He go after that one lost sheep. So I praise God for that blessing. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you. And now I want to open the other two lines. Amen. We have 518-650. We're getting ready to open your line. Amen. 518-650. Your line is open.
Hello. Good night. This is Sister Barnaby from Albany, New York. Good evening to everyone. And please pray for me. I need prayer, unspoken prayer for me, and pray for my family. And I would like to sing a song.
Amen.
Does Jesus care when my heart is bent too deeply for mirth and song? As a burden press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and prayer? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches, still it nearly breaks. Is it odd to me? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days got weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. And I'm going to read Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. O Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for your keeping care. Thank you for your tender mercy, Lord. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for giving me health and strength to do what I do. Lord, I thank you and I praise your holy name, Lord. Because your name is worthy, your name is good. Help me to trust in you with all my heart and to lean not unto my own understanding, Lord. But in all my ways to acknowledge you, because you will direct my path in the right way. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Because we are sinners, O God, and we know that your only solution to a sinner is you, Jesus, because you can solve our problem. You can turn darkness into light, O God. You can lift our burdens. You can touch us. You can heal us. You can sanctify us. You can cleanse us. You can purge us. You can mold us and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, we bow at the foot of your cross, God. We give you our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul. Anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Create in us clean heart, O God, and renew all. Give a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, you see us as we come on the line every Thursday, every Friday, and every Sunday, God. We come because we know you is God. And whatever is our problem, oh God, it's never too hard for you. You can mold us and fashion us into your likeness. You are the right God. You are the mighty God. You are the holy God. You are the awesome God. You are the miraculous God. Lord, all of us on the line, Lord, we need your healing hands on us. So please anoint us, oh God, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Heavenly Father, search us and know our heart, oh God. Try us and know our thoughts. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, lead us in the way everlasting. Father God, we come before you, Lord. We are asking you to give us clean hands and a pure heart, oh God. Help us to hide your word in our heart so that we may not sin against you. Help us, Lord, to let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we go from day to day. Because we know that you is God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. So, Father, please, God, have mercy upon us, each and every one of us on the line, and those that are in the background listening, Lord. We come because we know without you there is nothing we can do. So, Lord, thank you for hearing, thank you for answering, thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord, it's another day. We don't know what the future holds, oh God. But Lord, because you hold the future, all we have to do is depend on you. So Lord Jesus, have your way and have, let your will be done. Thank you for the speaker, Lord. Whatever the speaker speaks, let it be seen. Let it come from your throne. So Lord, continue to guide. Continue to have your way. Continue to let everything be done according to your will. Thank you for everything, Lord. What you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Thank you for every home. Thank you for every sinner, oh God. Put them before you, Jesus. All who have breath all over the world in diverse places. I put every mother, every father, every child into your hand. Lord, I put every senior's apartment in your hand. Every nursing home, oh God, and every hospital. Every doctor and every nurse. Lord, I give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Thank you for everything, dear God. Continue to have your way, Lord. Continue to let your will be done. Take full control. Let everything be done according to your will. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I pray and I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bonnie, for the prayer, the song, and just for blessing us with the word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. As you are here, Father, listening to the sisters and brothers that are giving you honor and glory, Father, I just ask that you continually to bless them. Now, Lord Jesus, as we, I'm open this next line, and I'm asking for the prayer there. And also, let me open this prayer because Sister Barnaby had a special request. Brother Rick has, Brother Rick, sister-in-law, his brother's wife had, I think, a stroke. And Sister Brenda is praying for my sister Mary. So, Sister Powell, when you're done, you can lift these up in prayers for us, please. And please pray for my husband, Brother Ray, because the job is calling back for another night. Oh, boy. So please offer these prayers. Amen. So, Sister Bonnie, we thank you. As always, the prayers is always more prayer, more power. So continue to pray us, my brothers and sisters. We need it. And also lift up Brother John and Sister Brenda as the Lord is building their home, and may God bless their home with durability and sturdy, because that thing is lifted up in the air 11 feet. Open your line, 518-951. Your line is open. Amen. I'm hoping
okay,
it's open.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen, amen. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. I want to thank God for life, health. Thank God for strength. Thank God for his healing power towards me. I just want to thank my brothers and my sister in Advent Life who are always continually lifting me up in prayer. I can say to my, I can say this evening that God hears and answers prayer. And he said when we present our prayer with a humble and contrite heart, he is there to hear and to answer our cry. I just want to thank God for the love that God had shown me to my brothers and sisters, how their heart is caring and loving and kind and tender-hearted to me. So I just want to say thank you. I have a little praise report before I pray, just a little short one. While I was here this morning, just lying and just, you know, just lying and just considering, you know, and said to myself, I just considered, said, Lord, I just want to thank you. And most of all, you know, I want to thank you for your love and your mercies towards me and also forgiving me of my sins and my shortcomings. And I knew that he answered, but he heard and he answered my prayer. I got a call from one of my longtime pastors, you know, actually retired. And I am telling you, when the individual called and was finding out how I am doing, you know, and I said, I'm doing just fine. And he burst out and he said, God answer prayer. We were just praying for you so that God will heal you so that you will be able to go on your mission to do what you love. And I just said, looky, you know what, I was just here lying down focusing upon the goodness of God. And in the midst of focus my mind upon the goodness of God, there was someone there who cares to just call at that same moment to find out how I'm doing. So, my dear beloved, it's not time for us to worry or complain or murmur. This is the time for us to do God's work, what he wants us to do. Whenever time we our mind come up on an individual, let us call them. Do not wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to us. So I just want to thank God for that praise report. And as I was listening on this line, Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Brenda prayer and Brother John part of it, you know, you see how God allow our people to go to the Holy Spirit, right? And the comforting words and encouraging words that they can hear and the goodness of God, you know, and the love that they have for God. I just have to say, Lord, thank you to do your will. And I know he is able to do it. So I will just offer a word of prayer as, you know, we pray and going in to listen to the message. All right, let's pray. My dear beloved, now is the time for each one of us to bow our head and or kneel. And if you are driving, please keep your eyes on the road. Right, let us pray. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Father in heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords, we, your children, come before you this evening, this appointed time we have with you. We want to thank you for the day that passed. We want to thank you for the health that you have given to each one of us. We want to thank you for providing our many needs, our basic needs, Lord, supply our spiritual needs, our financial needs, Lord, our prayer and requests, Lord, that we have reached up to you in the most holy sanctuary. We want to thank you for what you are doing even now there. So now, dear Lord, we thank you for this line. We ask you, Father, to pour your spirit upon your people so that your people, Lord, will understand the time that we are living in and that this is full time for us to be ready, that when you come, we will be with you. Now, dear Lord, we lift up these requests to you. We lift up the for Sister Leola, who is hosting now. We ask you, Father, to keep her, Lord Jesus, focused. And also, as she's praying for her dear beloved husband, we ask you, dear Lord, to strengthen him at work. We know it's difficult with his time change, Lord. We ask you to allow your light to shine within him. We are asking you, Lord, for your protection towards him. We are asking you, Lord, to allow the other co-workers that they will respect, Lord, and do what was told to them to do on their duty. So, Father, we place him in your hands. And we lift up Nicole, Lord, as the teacher who is getting herself with rest for tomorrow morning, that she can go to school in the classroom with those children. Lord, we ask you to allow your spirit to reign. Allow these children to be obedient so that they will be able to listen, Lord, and take in their lessons. So we present them to you. We lift up Shiloh and Jarvis Jr., Lord. Continue to bless these young people. Allow them to remember you in everything. And also Jarvis Jr. We just want to thank you for Jarvis Sr. We just want to thank you for him. You heard our prayer cry and you answer our prayer. So we want to say thank you again. We lift up Sister Mary. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing. Choose Sister Mary, Lord. We know that the Holy Spirit is moving in our life. We thank you for the aid, the Holy Spirit, the angels that surrounded her. And we thank you, dear Father, for the testimony that she shared. I was not there to hear, but Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the work that you have allowed her to be doing. Father, be a light to her so that she will shine her light and that others will come to you. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you and we bring honor and glory to your name. Continue to bless Brother John and Sister Brenda as they do your will. And Lord, we also present their children to you, and not children, maybe grown adult to you, Lord Jesus, and also the grandchildren, as we place them to you and the community. And we also lift up the home, Lord, our house, Lord, that is building. We ask you, Father God, for your protection towards all those who work on it, and allow her, dear Lord, that it will be ready soon. Heavenly Father, we also lift up our dear Sister Barnaby. Continue to bless her, Lord, the resources that she brought on this line, Lord. We just want to say thank you. And as she cried out for prayer, your unspoken request, you know thing about her. You created her in the image and likeness of you. You know what is going on, Lord, and she presented to you. And I do know, Lord, she trusts you and she believes that you are able and just to do all things in our life. And also she crying out for you for her children, Lord, and grandchildren, Lord Jesus, and her church family and her work where she is, Lord. We ask you to allow them to have love and compassion and kindness after she has worked so long and she put out all. Dear Father, now is the time for her to get her little break. Help them to consider it, Lord Jesus. So we place that situation in your hands. We also lift up Brother Rick, Lord. Continue to bless Brother Rick, Lord. Continue to keep him as he shines his light, Lord, wherever he go. And as he shines the light of the church, Lord, as the elder and a helper, Lord Jesus, and doing the things that you want him to do, dear Lord, in his community, we ask you to continue to bless and keep him. And we also lift up his mom and his father and the home, dear Lord, that he's building. We know that you are there, and we know that you promise that you will never leave them. You will be always with them, even to the end. We lift up Ashley. continue to bless her and keep her. We know you have been keeping her. We lift up her two children to you, dear Lord. You know everything is happening, and also her husband. Lord, continue, Father God, to allow your light to shine within him, and that he can ask you, Father, for help, spiritual help. So we leave that situation in your care. We also, dear Father, lift up Brother O'Neill, Lord, Sister Carlo, and all our brothers and sisters on this line, Sister Stephanie. Lord, we lift them up to you. You know their heart, their desire, and whatsoever they need. We lift up Brother Eli to you to this day as he is crying out to you for prayer for himself and prayer for his mother, that he will be patiently waiting and praying for Jahari and Javar and all his friends, brother. Show everyone that he come contact with, Lord, and show him, dear Lord, that you are there and you hear his cry. And just wait upon me, as the Lord said, wait upon me, and they will see the great salvation that you have done in the life of all those who he is praying for. So we lift them up to you. Heavenly Father, we also lift up, dear Father, all those brothers and sisters that used to come on the line. You know every one of them and their names and what they are doing. So we place them to you, Father. We lift up Sister Tamiko, as she always been praying for our mom and family members, her children, her grandchildren, and the all of us on this line, dear Lord. You know the names. There are so many. But, Lord, we know that you hear our cry. We lift up the speaker, Lord Jesus, Brother Ricardo, Father, Sister Stephanie, and also Brother Akeen, Akeen James, Akeen Bert. We lift up the resources that they bring on this line, and also the studies, Lord Jesus, that they presented. So we just want to thank you, Father. Bless us and keep us, Lord. We know that there are many names, other names, them, Lord, but you know them all.
Yeah.
You know what they need, and we also give them to you. We also lift up Sister Jackie, Sister Lovely, Lord Jesus, wherever they are,
Lord,
in Louisiana. We lift them up, Lord. We also lift up all those individuals under the bridge, the homeless. We lift them up to you. Continue to pour your blessings upon them and continue to keep them and allow their light to shine. Lord, we lift up my children, them, Lord. Continue to bless, continue to keep them. Lord, guide and protect them, Lord. Help them to study your word. Open your scripture now, dear Lord. We also lift up the projects, them, that we all have in Louisiana project, in the Philippine project, dear Lord, the Jamaica project, the Louisiana, everywhere we are, Lord, we're supposed to have a project of even going with books and tracks to give out when we go to the store. So we lift up all these projects over the island, over the world, Lord, and in our own area that we will share, Lord, to others to draw them to you. Continue, Lord, to bless us. Continue to keep us and help us to be faithful this evening, Lord, that we know that your Holy Spirit will abide with us this day as we hear your fresh bread from heaven that you promised that you will give unto us. Help us, Lord, that we will be willing to receive it. And when we receive your words, Lord, we will be able to be doers by sharing it to others who we come contact with. Bless us, we pray, Lord. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Lord. And help us to be faithful. Help us to be ready. Help us to trust you. Help us to have faith in you. And help us to believe your word. Thank you for hearing. Answering our prayer. In Jesus' loving name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Powell, for praying for all of us and lifting everyone up. It's truly a blessing.
on the prayer line. We have Mama Power and we have Mama Barnaby that's praying. You know, brothers and sisters, God tells us that we are to listen to our elders. And then you have in Timothy, I believe, he said the younger women, so by God's grace, to hear our elder on the prayer line is truly a blessing. So thank you, Sister Power, and thank you, Sister Barnaby, for one more time. And I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it, no matter what, you see the few that's on this prayer line, you all are faithful. And God honor your faithfulness. So I'm grateful to that. Amen. And I'm going to open that next line. So Sister Power, I want to appreciate you offering that prayer for all of us. So once again, we just say thank you again, okay? And we're going to open the next line for a caller. It's 857-505. We're going to open your line. Amen. Your line is open.
Amen. Amen. Hello, hello, beloved on the prayer line. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised, beloved. Thank you, Sister Miola, mm-hmm. for opening my line. And Sister Power, thank you, Sister Power, for praying for my friends in prayer, Sister Power. I appreciate my beloved sister. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Sister Power, very much, my dear sister. And Sister Miola, have a I'd like to thank God for his love because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola, I'd like to thank God for everything you have done for my mom and my family. And Sister Miola and Sister Power, yesterday, Sister Power and Sister Miola, Javelle was, swearing at me over the phone. But Sister Miola, after that, he was swearing to me over the phone. He'd say the word to me. And Sister Miola, guess what, Sister Miola and Sister Power? I pray for him, Sister Power and Sister
Amen.
Miola. I say, God, please, God, change him. Change him. Change him, Lord, from his wicked way. I say, God, change him from his, change him from his evil, how you say that, Sister Miola? Change him from his wicked, evil way. And Sister Miola, I'm asking to tell Brother Rick to lift up Brother Javelle in prayer too when he do the mm-hmm. next prayer. Tell Brother Rick to lift him up in prayer because he needs a lot. He needs a lot of prayers, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola,
Amen.
The evil spirit, the evil spirit is attacking, it's attacking Javelle, that young man. He needs a lot of prayer. He needs the Lord, and he needs Jesus in his life. Just like Sister Power say,
mm-hmm.
he needs Jesus in his life. He needs the Lord.
Yes.
Sister Power, my dear sister, pray for him, Sister Power, on your prayer closet,
Amen.
My dear Sister Power. Lift him up in prayer, Sister Power. Thank you, Sister Power. When you open Brother Rick's line, tell him to pray for Brother Javelle, special prayer
yes.
for Brother Javelle at the moment, Sister Miola, and pray for my mom. Amen. Tell Brother Rick, write the prayer request for Brother Rick.
Amen. Amen. And well, thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and sharing with us. Especially, you always bring the prayer request because this is a prayer line, and we do lift those prayers up by God's grace. And sisters and brothers, as we know, that Brother Eli always have a prayer request. When I listen to what God is doing in him, and there's been time where we listen to Brother Eli and hear how God has opened up his vocal and how God has blessed him to speak so well and to do so well. And it just was amazing to me when I heard him the first time. Now God is just blessing him and helping him to help others. So Sister Leola just going to offer the last prayer. And I am in agreement with the prayers that has been prayed. So I'm just telling the Lord I'm second the prayer that already been prayed, called no names, but I'm in agreement. So let us just offer this last prayer. Heavenly Father, we all bow our head before you. We all have humble hearts, Father. Lord, if there's any heart that have a grudging spirit, a negative spirit, any spirit, Lord, that's not of you, Father, I'm asking you to first in this heart of mine, Lord, Father. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for my sins, Lord, because we need you. And everything about you, Father, it was positive. You always got such a blessing, and people always wanted to be around you. So, Jesus, right now, as we are here, sisters and brothers, Lord, we want to have people to be able to be free around us. We want to be able to have people to love us because, Jesus, you are loved. You are loved. Everything about you. So, yes, allow us to have that love of Christ that others can feel the Spirit, because the Bible tells us Spirit, the Spirit agree with Spirit, or if that Spirit, it can testify that Spirit that another person have, that is a good Spirit. So, Lord, help our spirit to be like Christ. And remove anything that's not of you, Father, because we want to. And when he came down here, Father, he had perfect, perfect character, spirit in and out. And he drew people close to him. So now, Father, help us to have that same spirit, that we can draw people close, knowing that it's Christ in us, because it's nothing we can do about ourselves but Christ. That he provide for us his blessing as we pray for one another, as we share the scripture, as we are on this prayer line. Let us do everything decently and in order. So, Lord, we come to give you praise. We come to give you all honor and glory. Lord, I come to thank you for all the prayers, all the testimonies and the songs that has been on this prayer line. I'm asking that you bless each and every heart, Father. Lord, I'm asking that you cover us with your arms, Lord, around each and every home. Protect the grounds, Father, from the enemy, that you let no enemy come on the grounds, but keep each and every one of us, Lord, that we may show love towards one another. And Lord, now as we pray for this, Lord, we pray for your word. Lord, your word is so powerful. Your word is so enlightening. So, Father, tonight, enlighten us tonight as the Holy Spirit fill our heart with joy and all the blessings that you send into us tonight, Father, with the word that the servant will bring to us. Lord, fill him with your spirit, and that he can bring this word simple child can understand it. Lord, we don't need these big, broad words and all this elaborate stuff, but we need simple, Lord Jesus. So please give us that understanding tonight and be with the speaker. Thank you so much, Father. Lord, as Sister Powell lift up all these prayers, Lord, there was special requests, some requests that were spoken. Lord Jesus, you heard them all. And we thank you so much for all of your love, your blessings, your everything that you've given to us. And we ask all this in the worthy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And thank you, sisters and brothers, for just having patience on this prayer line, because we know the Bible says, the patience of the saints, we shall see Jesus. You got to have the patience. Those that keep his commandments and have the patience, then brothers, let us be blessed of the Lord. So now, Brother Akeem is not on, but I had a scripture that I wanted to read for us tonight, and I didn't get a chance to read because I'm opening the line. And sisters and brothers, it's coming from 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And I'm reading verse 3 and 4. And when I see Brother Akeem come on the line, we're going to open the line. And it says 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Sisters and brothers, that's powerful. And verse 4 says, in whom gods, the small g, of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So God is telling us, sisters and brothers, we don't want the gospel. We want to hear the gospel. And you see how Sister Brenda and Brother John they can't read certain words in there. And I used to do it. I still do it. I will listen to it on audio and let it pronounce certain words to me. Then I will look these words up. This gospel is that we have these Bibles we have in our hand. We have to search it out. We have to dig, like Christ says, like a hidden treasure, and love his gospel. And he said it is given to those, the one that don't want to hear it, they are lost. So sisters and brothers, just be thankful that you are studying the word of God, because God says the word which you study, he will bring it back to your remembrance in the time of need. You may not remember all these scriptures, but the Holy Spirit will work in you, and you will remember what you need when the time comes. So I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to read another verse. Say, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is what it's saying. Now, if I get a mirror and I look in that mirror and I'm beholding, and that's Christ, I'm beholding Christ, I am changed into that image. The Bible said by beholding, you become changed. So we have to behold Christ, and that's the image that we are to grow in. So God is so good, sisters and brothers. His word will never fail. His word is perfect. His word is everything. And the Bible says when God says his word, it is his character also. God's character is when you know, when I can speak and say, now, I may say that Sister Leola gonna do something for you. And by God's grace, I hope every word I can keep. You know, but you know what? It ain't always every word we gonna keep. But by God's grace, the Bible says our character, the word is our character, our word. Because you remember a long time ago how a man used to say that, put on my books, I owe you for some flour. And the man would go and pay that. And that's how these people build character with the world, because they kept their word. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Because I know I'm told some people, oh, I'm going to do this. And I wasn't able to make it all come to pass. But I tried my best, because my word is my character. So I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening to that, because I just wanted to share that. I wanted to read it in the beginning, but I didn't have a chance. So let us see if Brother Akeem James on here yet. We're going to play a little short song, and we're going to have, well, you know what? I wanted to sing The Great Physician because there were several prayers that was concerning health, and I got the scripture. I don't know if I could sing it. Sister Bonamy, would you be kind? Let me ask her. Sister Bonamy, I know she knows these songs so well. Sister Bonamy,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes,
would you
I'm
be
here.
Kind enough saying The Great Physician is now near? If you can't, I understand. I'm just asking if you can't. Can you sing the song, The Great Physician?
Do you have the number?
My number is 530. I have an old book.
The old book?
Yeah, The Great Physician's now near. I have in 530.
Yes, I'm looking for it.
The Great Physician now is near.
Yes, I find it.
You find it?
Yes.
You found it?
254 in the new hymnal.
Okay, you can sing it then for us.
Yes. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks a drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest name in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest choral ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Oh, glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest choral ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels of my guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the precious name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest note on mortal tongue, sweetest choral ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And when he comes to bring the crown of life and glory, then by his side we will sit down and tell redemption's story. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest choral ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The great physician now is near. Sisters and brothers, I thought about that song when Sister Brenda spoke about Mary have some daughters that are mental. And then Brother Rick's sister-in-law had a stroke. And, you know, then my situation, that's just needing Jesus. We all need him. And I thank God for that song. Thank you so much, Sister Barnaby, for the great physician now is near. So thank you. And brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem is here on the line, and we're going to open the line for him. Brother Akeem, we did open up with a word of prayer, and I know you haven't pressed one, but is this your number, Brother Akeem? We asked if you press one to make sure. Hold on a second. I may have to refresh my Give me a second, my sisters. Okay, give me a second. All right, all right. I see Brother Rick is back on, but Brother Rick, Brother Akeem is on now. Thank you for joining back. So, Brother Akeem, your line is open, and you can begin with your word of prayer.
Okay, all right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you will bless our minds and our hearts, strengthen us, and give us wisdom and understanding, Lord. We need you, we need your guidance, and we need your wisdom. Draw us ever closer to you and transform our minds, that, Lord, as we behold you, our minds may be conformed, transformed into that very image. This is what we pray and we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, friends. So last evening we covered the subject of the reality, the potential reality of the Mark of the Beast happening, and we saw that there is an initiative to actually pass or actually set those things in place for 2025. And those things, and I say that very carefully in the sense of that this, if we call anything a test run, this is a test run. In the sense of, if it does not happen, praise the Lord, right? Because that means more time has been given, the gospel may go forth. But if it does go through, and if it doesn't go through, it gives us more time, and that would be the definition of a test run. But if it does go through, that means God has the people ready. And my prayer is that we would draw ever closer to Christ, that we may in turn be ready as well. And so we'll look at some things that relate to that readiness that is needed. And this is the message that actually combats the message of the beast, the message that goes against this agenda to pass the National Sunday Law, is this message of freedom and the opportunity to receive Christ and his righteousness. So in light of this, I wanted to read a few things to us, because this, the reason that I'm so certain about this, friends, is not because of myself, but because of our history. Our history reveals to us how this whole thing will play out. That in the year 1888, there was an agenda to pass a national Sunday law, along with blue laws that were already in other states. But this was a national Sunday law that Senator Blair wanted to enact. And being part of the Congress as a senator, he sought to influence others on the behalf even of the Christian nationalist movement, the National Reform Movement, it was called at that time. And praise God, we see that in light of him knowing that his people were not ready, he raised up a man to challenge the passing of that law. And they were closer than we ever were, friends. Many people thought that over these past few years we were so close. But I realize it's because many do not know our history as a movement. When you look back and you see that the nation was on the very verge of passing a national Sunday law, and this was actually the news of the time, you begin to realize that, friends, we are not even there. This is not even being spoken about nationally. It's not even even to the point of reaching the Congress, such subjects. But friends, there is a time that that will come. And the same individual that God raised up to challenge that Sunday law in the days of Senator Henry Blair, friends, that messenger in type will be raised up at the end of time, in the sense of God will have a people that will rise up not only to challenge that law, but will rise up with a message. You see, the same individual that stood against the Sunday law in the 50th Congress of the United States of America, that message that he, that same individual was also bringing another message to the church, along with a friend of his. And these two men were A.T. Jones, the one who stood before Senator Blair, and defended religious freedom, and also a man by the name of Elliot J. Wagner, E.J. Wagner, as many of us know him. And they were bringing a message to the church that if it had been received, friends, the Sunday law would have been passed. Do you know that? The reason that the Sunday law was not passed was because there was a message that was being rejected in the church, and with the rejection of that message came the rejection of an experience that would have prepared them to face the crisis. But because they had rejected the message and thereby rejecting the experience, the result was that they could not be ready for the crisis because the message was rejected. And so tonight we're going to look, this evening we're going to look at that message. And I'll read some statements from inspiration and we'll go into it. This is the heart of God's last message, friends. And this is where, as the beast is working in secret, as apostate Protestantism, I'm not even looking at Rome yet, as apostate Protestantism is working. Because you remember, the Roman power will not rise to its height again until the civil power of the United States of America, in the hands of apostate Protestantism, is given to the papacy. So the Pope can visit how many countries he wants, however many countries he wants. He can make as many collaborations as he wants. The major collaboration that we have to be aware of is not his collaboration with secret societies, not his collaboration with governmental officials, not his collaboration with other nations. We should be aware of that. But the major collaboration that we should be focusing on, according to Revelation 13, is the collaboration with apostate Protestantism. When apostate Protestantism makes an initiative to render power back to the papal system, that's what we have to be watching out for. And it's not just in any nation. It's not just Protestantism in Poland or Protestantism in somewhere in Europe. It's Protestantism, specifically according to Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, Protestantism in the United States of America. And so, in light of us understanding that that is coming, Revelation 14 comes as an answer and a solution to the problem of Revelation 13. Revelation 13 shows the two beast powers that will collaborate at the end of time to destroy God's people. Under satanic influence, they will seek to destroy God's people. But God has an answer. He has a counteract message, a message that will counteract the work of the two beasts in Revelation 13, and that is found, that message is found in Revelation 14. That's why we were going through it for a few weeks. But there's a part of it that I really want us to focus in on, and we've done this before, but let's look at it again. It says, here's the patience of the saints, that is, the endurance of the saints. Here are they, what are they enduring in? Here are they that keep the commandments of God. That is, according to Psalm 119 and verse 173, I believe it is, if we go there, Psalm chapter 119, verse 173, it says the following. Let's check that out. Psalm 119, verse 173 says the following. It states there, actually verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So in other words, when it says here is the patience of the saints, here is the endurance of the saints, what are they enduring in? The commandments of God. That's one of them. But what are the commandments of God according to Psalm 119 verse 172? They are the manifestation of his righteousness. So in other words, the saints endure in the righteousness of God, in obedience to God's commandments. Now that's what they endure in, but the thing that many people don't ask is how do they endure in obedience? Because friends, many have sought to keep the commandments of God and have failed in their efforts to do so merely by trying to keep the law. This was the message that was coming to our people in the late 1800s, a message that would not only call people to keep the commandments of God, but to help them to realize the only way that they could keep it. You see, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when God came down and showed his power, displayed his power on Mount Sinai, Moses came back with a message from God relaying to the people all that God had told them, and the people were afraid to approach God. And so they said, you speak, Moses, you speak to God on our behalf. Moses came back with God's message to them, and friends, they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. But friends, you remember, just a few chapters later, they were worshiping a golden calf. And that was because they understood what they must do, but they didn't understand how to do it. And they thought they must just muster up strength and keep the commandments. But they didn't realize that rather than all that the Lord has said we will do, they should have said, let the Lord accomplish what he has spoken. Let the Lord do this in us. That should have been their response. Because, friends, the only way to keep the commandments of God, the only way to keep divine laws is by divine power. This is why we are told in the book of Philippians, I believe it is. Let's go to Philippians, and we're going to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and it says there the following. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Paul then states, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? So many look at this statement and they stop there and they're like, man, and I got to work this thing up. I have to really push my willpower. And friends, the will is part of it because we have to make a choice. But friends, the will is not the end of it. Because notice what it says here. Lest we think that we must do this on our own. It says in verse 13, for it is God which works in you. Both, here it is, to will. And not just to desire, not just to will it, but to do of his good pleasure. So what the Bible is revealing to us here is that the only way that we can work out our own salvation in fear and trembling is because God is already working within. So what God works in, we are then able to work out. But friends, if it is not in us to obey, then friends, we cannot obey. This is the difference between the prodigal son and his brother when he came back home. You see, the brother had stayed in the house. He had stayed in his father's house. But friends, his heart was not there. And it was revealed when the brother came back. He was in the house of the father, but he did not have the heart of the father. That's why his response to his brother's returning was different from his father's response. When the rebellious son returned home, understanding that, man, the only way that I can truly live a life worth living is if I return to my father's house. And friends, I tell you the truth. It is not only that the son was prodigal in the sense that he came away from his home. Friends, I want to submit to you that the father was also prodigal, not in the sense that the father rebelled against truth, right? The son did, and he rebelled against truth, wishing his father was dead. That's what it meant to ask the father for the inheritance before the father died. But friends, the father, do you know this? Check this out, friends, because if God is always with us, if God is always with us, then that means, friends, even when we wander away, the reason that we are drawn back to him is because he is at work right in our situation, drawing us back. That means I want to propose to you this spiritual point, this deeper point. The reason that the Father was already looking out by the time his son crossed over that hill and he could see his son, the father was waiting for him, was due to the fact that the father, if the father is God in that story, it was due to the fact that the father already knew what he was doing in his son to draw him back home. You see, it is not only that the son left that home, the father's heart left with him. And so in all of his rebellion, in all of his riotous living, finally coming to the point where he was doing a job where he realized he was treated better in his father's home. That realization where the Bible says he came to himself, that was God working in his heart. The same father that he left was the same father that was working in him to draw him back. You see, God is with us even while we are in our sin. God is with us, even while we may be living a life of rebellion. And how do we know? Because in our heart there is a silent, there is a tender, quiet call to come back. And who's making that call? God is making that call. But where is he making it? He's making it to us right in the midst of our rebellion, which means he has to be there. That's the only way, friends. God is not standing at a distance calling us. He comes right into our situation calling us. The same point is illustrated, by the way, in the Old Testament when Judah went into captivity to Babylon. What did God instruct Jeremiah to tell the people? Have your sons and the daughters of others within, among your people, marry one another. Plant gardens. Pray for the very city that you are going into. And what will happen? And you will grow there. I will bless you even in your captivity. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that the time when Nebuchadnezzar took those people captive to Babylon, God did not stay in Jerusalem. God was with his people in Babylon, blessing them and prospering them, letting them know that even in your captivity, I am with you, to turn your minds back to me. Because, friends, if God left us, it's not just that we would die, but if God left us, we would not have even the slightest inclination to turn to him. For the carnal heart is antagonistic to God. But for men to be drawn to him, for men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to be faithful to God. Friends, it has to be that God was in Babylon, for they were in Babylon. So even in the midst of his people, probably even bowing down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, God was there. God was with his people, even in the midst of their failings. And what does that tell us? God is with us even in the midst of our failings. To do what? To give us a heart to obey even in our captivity. That is what the story of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah reveals to us. That God can open our hearts to cause us to serve him and to rise even in the midst of a situation that looks like bondage. Because you see, God frees us in bondage before he ever frees us from bondage. God frees us in bondage before he ever frees us from bondage. What does that mean? God was able to do a majestic and powerful work through the Hebrew youth, through those Hebrew gentlemen. Because why? Even though they were living in captivity, they were free. In their mindset, they were free. And because God was working in them, what was the result? They were able to obey him. You see, when it tells us, here's the patience or the endurance of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God, or keep the righteousness of God. How are they able to keep the righteousness of God? Meaning, how are they able to obey God's commandments? For the commandments are his righteousness. The reason they were able to is because Christ was ever at work in them. And why was that so? Because their minds were ever focused upon God, even in the midst of their captivity. So God was working in them because they were focused on him. God was working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure, even when they were in a place that they did not want to be. And friends, this is the call to us today as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us this powerful point. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, by the way, that glory is Jesus Christ, beholding in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from one level of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you see, the one who causes us to be conformed or to be transformed into the glory, or to be caused us to conform to the glory, it is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit, because Daniel and his friends were receptive to the call of God in captivity, their minds were focused upon him. And as they were focused upon him, they didn't realize their minds were really focusing upon Jesus. That's why Jesus showed up in that fiery furnace. Friends, it is because their minds were focused upon Christ, the glory of God. What happened? the result was that their characters reflected that. The Spirit of God worked within them to focus their minds upon the glory, that their lives might reveal the glory in the form of obedience. We read a similar thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says the following, actually from verses 4 to 6, 3 to 6. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ," and then it says of Christ, "who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, the light, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake." And then notice what it says here. "For God, who commanded the light," that is the glory, "to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." But notice where that glory is. It is in the face of Jesus Christ. And the face denotes this aspect of intimacy. And Moses spoke to God face to face. There were few men of which that was said in the Old Testament. But the idea is that God and Moses had an intimate relationship. God, Moses' mind was ever focused upon God. And the result was what? As he looked into the face of God, really he was looking into the face of Christ. For God has always communicated with humanity, especially since the fall, through Christ. So every interaction that man has had with Jehovah, for the most part, has been Jesus that they have been interacting with, the God and Master of the universe. And so as they have been beholding him and coming into an intimate relationship with him, what has happened? They begin to reflect the glory that they are beholding, that is shining, the very character that shines in the very face of Christ now begins to shine forth in their lives. And friends, this is what happened to the rebellious son, the prodigal son, once he returned home. His life began to change. He came back to his father's home. And his father was waiting for him and if the father is a representation of God, the father then was waiting for the son because he knew what he was already doing in the heart of the son. It's not only that the father was at home waiting, he was in the pig pen with his son as well, wooing his heart by the Spirit of God to draw him back home. Now, as we look at this, friends, we're realizing now this is why we read in the powerful book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus. This is why this happens when we behold Christ, when the Spirit turns our eyes upon Jesus. This is why our characters change. Because notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 24. Look at what it calls Christ. All right? I'll read it from verse 22, actually. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks," listen to this, "Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And not only that, skip down to verse 30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ, who," meaning speaking of Christ, "who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." So do you see it? The saints must endure in the commandments of God. But the commandments of God, according to the psalmist, is God's the manifestation of God's righteousness. But you remember, the law cannot make any man righteous. It is the manifestation of God's righteousness, but it cannot make man what it is. The law is only to reveal sin. It is not the remedy to it. Who is the remedy? Christ. And as we behold him, his power, the glory shining forth from him, as we behold him in his beauty through the pages of Scripture, as we see his goodness and his tenderness, his kindness and his boldness, his mercy, friends, our hearts are moved by the Holy Spirit, who brings the power of God to us. You remember Jesus said to his disciples, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. But what power is the Spirit bringing? It is the power of Christ to change the hearts and minds of men that focus upon Christ. And what does Christ do for them? He becomes to men righteousness. That which the law cannot give, he gives to men. This is how the saints are enabled to obey at the very end. Because they are focusing, they know the law, and they examine themselves against that mirror, the law, to see their defects. But friends, their focus is upon Christ. And as they focus upon him, as they behold the beauty of his character, which is the fulfilling of the law, their lives begin to reflect the very law that shows them their defects. This is the science. This is what was being preached in the 1880s and the late 1800s. This is what was being preached by Jones and Wagner. And friends, when a man and a woman, or when a man and a woman receives this reality, that Jesus is my only hope, that he is the only one who can give me power to live right, he comes into me and he is my righteousness. He lived a perfect life for me, that he might come by his Holy Spirit in me and manifest the very life that he lived. Hence the Bible says it is God who works in you to will and to do, that is to desire, and that the desire becomes strong enough that you cannot but do the desire. Just as it is with the sinful nature, right? You know what that feels like? The sinful nature and the desires of it can become so strong that it is almost inevitable that we do the very thing that we desire. But friends, it can be the same when we become partakers of Jesus, when we become partakers of the divine nature. As we behold him, he changes and begins to adjust our desires. And it becomes so overwhelming that we cannot but do that desire. That is to will and to do, to desire and to act in accordance with the reformed desire, the transformed desire. And friends, when that happens, when Christ comes into the heart and he begins to change it, that process is, that work, I should say, is called justification. That is to make a man or a woman right. It is not just to declare them right, but it is to make them right. Friends, this message was going forth in the time just when the Sunday law was on the cusp of being passed. A few times during the days of Jones and Wagner, and a few times leading up to and after the turn of the century. And as this message of justification, the transformation of the human heart, the changing of it, to where you are not only declared right, but you are made right, this was the message that, had it been received, our people would have gone from legalistic understanding the love of Christ so deeply that it would have changed their hearts, experiencing justification. Hence, we are told in Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 372, several have written to me inquiring if the message of justification by faith is the third angel's message. And I have answered, it is the third angel's message in verity, and we're seeing how that is so. All we've been doing, friends, is breaking down the last part of the third angel's message. Do you see that? That's why she says it is the third angel's message in verity. Because Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12, is the third angel's message. And we've been breaking down verse 12 to see where is justification in this, and we've been seeing it. For the commandments of God can only be kept as Jesus comes into our hearts and make us right. We cannot obey unless he transforms the heart. Therefore, our cry should be every day, Lord, transform my heart. Let me experience the power of justification today, the ability to be made right. And that ability only you possess, for I cannot make myself right with God. But I come that you may make me right with him. Friends, this is the message. It continues by saying, this is in Last Day Events, page 200, paragraph 1. The Lord, in his great mercy, sent a most precious message to his people through elders E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones. This message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people, here it is, to receive the righteousness of Christ. That's why it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, Christ became to us wisdom. Not just wisdom, though, but righteousness. And then it says, once the human heart is now transformed and it is made right with God, then from that transformed heart come sanctified works. But you remember, the righteousness is not ours. The righteousness by which we are justified is Christ's life. And therefore, the works that come forth in a sanctified life is his works. Do you see that? That's why it calls him not only our righteousness, but it calls him our sanctification. Because the works that are done holy and come from a pure heart, a transformed heart, is his works. The same thing that he did in his life is now repeated in the context of our lives. Hence, she states, it presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest how? How is it then seen in the life? Which is made manifest in obedience to all the commandments of God. That's sanctification. But the first part where it says it invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, that's justification. To receive it, transformed by it, that's justified. But then to now manifest it in the form of obedience, that's works now, that's what? Sanctified. Sanctification. Many, now why was this needed, friends? Many people say now the times have changed. This is not the same anymore, but the statement I'm about to read to you is the same. We have the same problem today. What was that problem? Many had lost sight of Jesus. They needed to have their eyes directed to his divine person, his merits, his changeless love for the human family. All power is given into his hands, that he may dispense rich gifts unto men, imparting the priceless gift of his own righteousness. You see that? His own righteousness to the helpless human agent. This is the message that God commanded to be given to the world. It is the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of his spirit in large measure. That's testimonies for the church. Our testimonies to ministers and gospel workers, page 91 and 92. Two more statements. Testimonies for the Church, volume 6, page 19, says the following. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the earth to the other to prepare the way of the Lord. This is the glory of God, which closes the work of the third angel. And that's why we see, verse 12. The contents of verse 12 at the end of the third angel. From verses 9 through 11, it tells us the context in which that message will go forth with power. It will be in the context of the image of the beast, of the mark, and of the beast itself having power. It is in that context that this message of Christ's righteousness must go forward. Why? Because the beast is teaching us by the very day that symbolizes his authority, Sunday, it is teaching us salvation by works. But then there rises a movement, the seven-day Adventist movement, that will stand at the end of time, according to the spirit of prophecy, to defend religious liberty. And part of that defense of freedom would be the freedom to choose to receive not righteousness by works, but the righteousness that comes by faith, the righteousness that comes by trusting that there is one who has lived out a life that we could not, and that he can give us that life, that we may begin in conversion to live that life out, because he lives it out in us. Friends, it states here, this is the glory of God which closes the work of the third angel. The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. And why is it? Why do we see this trend, this interchangeable nature of love and righteousness? In some statements we're reading about love, and some we're reading about righteousness. It is because, friends, as the spirit of prophecy tells us, love is righteousness. Love is righteousness. When Christ was living out his life of good works, of service, of kindness, of tenderness, of justice, friends, when he was doing that, it was a manifestation of righteousness. But it was all done how? In love. Love is righteousness. The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love, therefore. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. That's Christ Object Lessons, page 415 and 416. Therefore, what we're seeing here, friends, is while verses Revelation 14, verse 9 through 11, is the context in which the third angel's message must go forth, Revelation 14, 12, Revelation 9 through 11 is the context, but verse 12 is the heart of the third angel. Revelation 14, 9 through 11 is the context. Verse 12 is the heart. It is the heart of the third angel's message. If we understand the beast, its image, and its mark, but we do not understand verse 12, we have missed the experience that will prepare us for the beast, its image, and its mark. We need to understand the identity of these powers, but we also need to gain the experience that is needed to face these powers. And that experience is found and gained through a study of verse 12. Friends, that is the heart. More important than the context is the heart. But we need to understand the context because it gives us the urgency to receive that experience, not based on fear, but because Christ loves us and has given us the ability, is willing to give us the ability to face the coming contest. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense. Strengthen our hearts and minds. I pray for myself as well. And I pray for those who listen, that you would give us that experience that is needed to face the beast, its image, and its mark. Only the righteousness of Christ can face these powers and overcome them. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. But brother Akeem, I have a question. So in Revelation 14:12, it's simple to read, but is there a breakdown of Revelation 12 as you say this is the heart of that message of the, and what we have to, you're going to break that down to us or give us the,
yeah.
To conclude it, I would say you would do that?
Yeah, I can do that. This week we touched on the righteousness of God. We touched on the commandments. But next week I'll continue with the faith because it says keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And so a lot of the statements, now why, one of the reasons that I point out it's the heart is because when you read Last Day Avenged chapter 14, and also you go back to some of the 1888 materials, which can be also easily accessible on the Ellen G. White website, or you can also find it, Last Day Avenged chapter 14, and also on the Ellen White app for those who have smartphones. In chapter 14, go ahead.
Well, I have the app. So what is the...
Okay.
What is going to be the number?
So it's chapter 14, Last Day Avenged, chapter 14, and it's at, the subtitle in that chapter is called The Heart of God's Last
That's
Message. Let me make sure I get it right for you. The Heart of God's Last Message, that's right. And that's found
okay,
in pages
just read.
199.
Okay.
So once you
okay, well, we can
that,
read that whole thing.
Yes. Yes, and that's just a small section, but also I'll give you one more thing. Faith and Works is another one that breaks it down, that book breaks it down. But if you want to actually go to the original content that was being emphasized during the late 1800s, 1880s onward, especially 1888, and you have the app, on the app, there's a part where you first enter and gives you an opportunity to either go through the books, such as Great Controversy, Patriarchs and Prophets, stuff like that. It gives you an opportunity to go through the devotionals, biography, manuscript releases. And then there is a section called Miscellaneous Collections. So M-I-S-C, short for Miscellaneous, and then Collections. Once you go in there, you first have letters from Battle Creek. It's called, it says Battle Creek Letters. And then the next one that you can look at called the Ellen G. White 1888 Materials. If you go through those, it will show the issues that were happening surrounding the message of righteousness by faith and why it was so important for us to receive it. And the things that Jones and Wagner were saying. And for those who may want to go further, you can go to Ellen G. White Audio, egwhiteaudio.com. And as you go there, let me make sure I don't lead you astray. I'm going to go there right now. EGW Audio. Let me make sure I get there. Yes. So Ellen White Audio, not .com, but .org. If you go to ellenwhiteaudio.org, you will actually see, I'm going there right now just to show, just to mention it to you. This is powerful, friends. You want to take advantage of this. If you want to understand this message like nothing else, go to this place. If you can, if you don't have time to read it, you can listen to it. On ellenwhiteaudio.org, you scroll down when you get to the website, and you will see it has Ellen White's picture and all of her books. It has for all her devotionals. But then it begins to go into the pioneers. And right after the pioneer, A.G. Daniel, he was one of our presidents, it shows A.T. Jones. And A.T. Jones was the guy who, along with E.J. Wagner, was bringing the message of righteousness by faith. When you go there, right almost to the end of his writings, you will see the third angel's message, 1893, the third angel's message, 1895, and the third angel's message, 1897. If you get through those, you will understand this message. And friends, in just listening to it, because you just press on it and it has it in audio, so you can listen to it while you're driving, you can listen to it while you're at home, and get an understanding of the message that Ellen White was actually saying. Had it been received, it would have been the end of the world because the people would have been prepared. This is how we really prepare, friends. It's not just through country living. Country living is important, and planting gardens and all of these things, but all of these are reforms, you see. All of these are a matter of obedience. But how does the heart come to the point that it will obey all of these things? It's these messages. So if you go to this website, you go under A.T. Jones, you will find the audio that he was preaching. Someone took all of his manuscripts and read it, the messages that he was giving. Friends, it will change your life.
Amen.
So hope that helps.
Okay, well, if I can throw it and I can share it with my other brothers and sisters. Okay, well. Brother Akin James, we want to thank you for this enlightening word of God. So we ask that God continue to bless you and help you to bring these messages to a point so we can understand. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we want to thank you also because you have been patient and you have been so faithful on this Advent Light Ministry. So God continue to bless you, give you a peace and a rest tonight. And I'm going to close with just a short song by God's grace. And here we go. It may not be short, but, you know, such a beautiful song. Leaving to Calvary, we're going to play that for you. So thank you, Brother Akin, and God bless you. Amen.